And you gonna murder this one and murder that one. Talking all that bullshit. I'ma put it to you like this, yo.
This is for the nerds. This is for the brainiacs. This is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back. You ain't gonna touch me. You not gonna do nothing. You are not above me. I bet you wish you was me. I know that I know.
What is popping, everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. Well, you know, it's me and my only friends, which includes, but is not limited to, my boy, LaManna. What's popping, baby?
Wow, LaManna.
Yeah, I know. You don't have the thing right. You're not ready.
I know. I don't want the, you know, the tortoise to die, but it might be on the decline. I was playing at Wynn this past weekend, and three people, usually if somebody like recognizes me and comes up and they're like, Tortoise, what's up? Three people use my full name. Hey, Brian LaManna, what's up? And I was like, I didn't think anybody knew what my name was.
You know why they were full naming you? I'm surprised they didn't middle name you too.
They don't know my middle name. Well, we're keeping that secret.
I'm about to middle name your ass, Brian Robert LaManna.
There goes my identity out the window.
They were coming at you hard because of your conservative time to get to the airport.
Brian's a big booty Latino. Right. BBL.
It takes an hour to an hour and a half. I looked. It was an hour and 4 minutes. I was right in the range that I said.
Yes, you are correct.
So I don't see how I was wrong.
You.
And that's going the speed limit. And we all know I'm not going to go. I go slow and steady, baby.
You were correct for rush hour. It took.
I wasn't correct for rush hour. I was correct for 3 o'clock.
That says 51 minutes.
It was 3:30.
3:30. Yeah, rush. People don't get out of work until 5, Burke.
3.
So. No, 5 o'clock is rush hour.
Have you ever been in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
At 3 p.m.
5 o'clock is rush hour.
Well, let me tell you, whenever it's
now
not,
we're just arguing like
when it's
semantics.
Not 3 p.m. It takes 51 minutes, buddy.
You take 51 minutes, buddy.
I take less than 51 minutes because I don't drive the speed limit either.
Get out of here,
Brian Robert LaManna.
Matthew,
I did just dox my grandparents. I think. Well, my former grandparents' house, now my uncle's house. Pretty sure we just...
Oh, you put like the actual...
Accidentally put that...
You didn't just put Leechburg? Oh, from there? That's even closer.
Oh,
that's,
here that's, we that's, fucking that's, go.
See, this is what he's doing. He's gaming the system. Berkey knows how to do it, right? Because he lives another like 5 to 10 minutes outside of Leechburg.
So what you really want to do is look at his search history.
Right. So like, which is closer to the airport?
Five to 10 minutes. He's talking. I can walk to downtown.
You cannot
Leechburg.
Walk to down. You could. It would take you half hour.
I have. I used to ride my bike to the gym every day.
Just because you have doesn't mean you should.
Right. Like, but like, you know, he was going to use that house exactly because it's closer and, you know, a few extra minutes makes me look a little bit more right.
I really
like,
want to know.
You know, we're talking about minutes here, right? He said it takes under an hour. I said it takes an hour to an hour and a half, depending on traffic. And like, now he's got to get every little inch. So like, he's like, well, maybe we're done.
I want to see your math service history, actually.
Let me just put it from Laurelboro. From Laurelboro, it's only 45 minutes.
Because I want to see if you looked up like the normal, when he looked up first, and then looked up your house.
I just instantly put my address in.
Screaming. I don't know.
I was actually just proud
about.
I still remembered my home address. It's been a long time since I've been there, 15, 16 years.
Mine's so easy.
I meant to wear this yesterday, but I didn't get it yet. It just showed up yesterday. This was supposed to be my St. Patty's shirt.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you're a little late.
Day late, dollar short. This is how.
Dollar richer. You're a little treat system.
I don't understand.
Every time you win, you get yourself something. You have too many things.
No, I usually shop when I'm losing. But lately, the IG algorithm has been getting me.
That's not true.
What?
You upswing shop.
I both shop. I mean, the reason I say I usually shop when I'm losing is because I'm on my phone more when I'm losing.
Hour and 10 minutes right now from my house to the airport.
Again, it's still almost 3:30. same time as it was yesterday.
It's 3:13, and I'm just saying, that's an hour and 10 minutes. Right. I bet if I did it at 5 o'clock, it would be closer to an hour and 20 minutes. Right in the range where I said. I've been dealing with this. Seriously, I've been dealing with this since fifth grade. All right? Fifth grade.
How do you
never
do it?
Ends.
How did you do it,
this
Brian?
Fucking guy. God, how do you deal with him, Negreanu? I don't get it.
Oh, man. This is unreal.
Nice shirt, though. Nice shirt.
Thanks,
you pissed off the turtle.
Thanks, Brian.
Pissed tortoise.
Turtle's mad.
Eventually, he's going to catch up. There was an arrest yesterday at Rivers Casino. This story is actually quite hilarious. So apparently, it had been an ongoing investigation for who knows how long on what investigators are calling a complex cheating conspiracy
based
that took place at a roulette table at Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh. So this is, well, I'll save the punchline for the end because I find this to be remarkably hilarious based off of just how people view gambling. The way that this cheating scandal happened was Rivers Casino has what's known as, what the hell do they call it? It's some sort of roulette table that's different. I can't find the name of it, but anyway, the purpose of it is you have to spin the ball in the opposite direction for sensors to register an official spin.
When you explained this earlier in pre-show,
inner block roulette, whatever.
Okay,
that means.
Yeah, it's inner block roulette. It must be digital.
It has to be digital.
Yeah, so like I'm pretty sure every roulette table I played, they always spin the ball the opposite way of the wheel spinning.
I mean, maybe that's standard practice, but the point is that this one digitally registers the spin.
Gotcha.
By sending it in the opposite direction. Okay. If you send it in the same direction.
When you're putting in your bets, you're not literally placing chips on the table. You're digitally putting your bets in.
Yes.
I would assume so.
Okay.
I don't know what inner block roulette is, but right. I would assume that that's what it means, that it's some version of digital meshed together with...
Right, because a lot of the games are like that now. You got blackjack. They have like digital blackjack and all these kind of things.
Right.
So.
Okay,
line.
So I just Googled it. It says it's the world's leading developer and supplier of award-winning electronic table gaming products.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like it's some sort of hybrid between digital and manual. So what they were doing was spinning the ball in the improper direction, which did not register a legal spin. And then they were paying out after people were mashing their bets on the ball that hit.
It's so funny that like they didn't have like they have this digital machine and then this electronic machine and it registers, it knows when it goes the right way, but it doesn't know enough to when it goes the wrong way not to accept the bet.
Right. So when it goes the incorrect direction, it's like there was no spin at all.
Right.
And what happens is they had a protocol. Honestly, this is kind of the casino's fault because it sounds like what the protocol was is that they would complete the spin and people would then obviously bet on the number that came up. And then the person who spun the wheel would go to a manager and say, hey, sorry, spun the ball in the wrong direction. I need you to pay out. And they would come over and confirm it as an official spin and then it would pay out.
Oh, I see.
So they really got Rivers here, number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking upwards of $10,000. Okay, on this very sophisticated cheating scandal that they were running. And yeah, I guess like it was all digital, like they would load the money onto the card type of things. But the funny part to me, what makes this hilarious, is the only reason that this was ever found out was due to a Good Samaritan who wrote a letter anonymously to Rivers Casino about this happening. And the reason why is because he was pissed that the numbers were inconsistent on the readout board, you know, that tells you how often numbers are hitting. He was mad that it wasn't consistent with what was actually getting paid out, because you know it's very important when you're making your decision on what number to bet, you know what numbers are hot.
If you ever watch you can go Google it's like a most elementary like tutorial of games and how to play games in the casino, and like one of the first things they'll say is like, don't look at the board, don't place your bets you know,
based off,
the past because it doesn't matter.
Right.
They're hot numbers.
Literally the most basic thing you need to know.
It's like the hot card.
It is like the hot card. He's right.
How's it like the hot card?
I don't know. Just teasing.
I mean, it's not, I guess.
Just teasing.
But, you know, it's a thing. It sounds like this is a big deal because, you know, slow news day in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, this like took place for months, I guess. Like the state police are involved. There was a full blown investigation. They have a hearing scheduled.
That's what I was going to ask. This wasn't like a one time thing. No. It was like they've been doing gone. So like, is the same people over and over? Like they had the
same two people running the roulette wheel. Yes.
They were probably doing it like once.
Yeah.
A day.
Wouldn't they catch on the invention? Like, oh, I spent it the wrong way. It's just like always the same people playing.
I mean, I'm sure that there's just like margin of error, right? Like,
yeah.
You do 1,000 spins a day and you spin two of them in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Like, and, but it's always the same people that they're paying out.
Right. Like, well, I don't know if that's true.
Oh, maybe there's a ring of people. That
yeah. It doesn't sound like it was like the same customers or whatever that were benefiting from it. But right. They did manage to say state police said the casino lost more than $10,000 on these incidents.
More? So maybe it's
$11,000.
Maybe it's a lot more and they just don't want to say. Like maybe they have to do is
say a minimum number.
Say a minimum number.
They lost a million.
It's 10,000, but maybe they actually lost like 100,000. Or maybe
that would make a lot more sense.
Or maybe they thought that like if we do it this way, we're never going to get caught and we're just going to make, you know, thousands of dollars a month. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Joel from Pittsburgh says the pit boss and the dealer were the ones that were involved, which makes a lot more sense because somebody has to confirm it as an official spin.
Right.
The person that's confirming it is the person that's supposed to make sure that it's all good.
I would say, you know, not that Rivers Casino needs my advice, but maybe just change that protocol. Spin the ball in the wrong direction. I don't know. Don't pay off.
Right.
You know, like when we bet fucking roulette at Turning Stone, I put my whole bankroll on black and the ball came out of the wheel.
Right.
You're locked in, baby. Yeah. You know, that one doesn't count.
Right.
That doesn't come up as a zero just because.
You
know?
Put the whole bankroll on black ones?
Yeah. I put 5K. Well,
it wasn't the whole bankroll.
It was basically the whole bankroll. But it was 2,500 max bet. So I put 2,500 on. I gave LaManna 2,500, made him put it on. And then I put $100 on black 11. And they spun the ball, and it just popped out of the wheel. And LaManna goes, take it off! It's a sign!
Yeah, of course.
Did you take it off?
No, I was like, I would double it if I could.
Yeah.
Left it on, and it came up black 11.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of here!
I got even for the trip. Man, I was a fucking DJ when it get like.
Wait a minute, how much were you stuck?
Like 7K, 8K, like. Something like that, 10K
but you,
maybe.
You just put like different dollar amounts on different numbers.
No. I put $100 on black 11.
So that's 3,500.
That's 3,500, and then I hit black, so I got like 8,500.
Oh, I see. I see what's going on here. I got it.
Yeah. So
no fucking shot.
Swear to God, I still didn't.
It happened. It definitely happened.
I can see.
And then somehow
black.
We drove from there right to Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm. I can see hitting black, but hitting the 11 too is just absurd.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm supposed to just lose that $100, but like, you know, someone wanted me to get even. I was degenerate when it came to chasing losses. Same thing
has
online.
Has that even changed?
Same thing online. I would grind like for 8 hours at like 2-4 no limit. And then just get stuck like $1,500. And the next thing you knew, it was like 4 a.m. And I'm placing bets on Mansion Poker on the Steelers to win the Super Bowl. I'm playing 2550 PLO. And I'm just like rocketing it in, trying to get back this $1,200 that I lost playing 2-4.
It's
got that,
scales,
that inner degen in you that just comes out sometimes.
You were stuck fucking 200 in Bobby's and then got it back three-handed against Broken and somebody else.
Well, I would love to say that I've matured.
You
but,
haven't.
But the actuality of it is there's no bigger games for me to chase. You know, so it's like I just have to stay long.
True.
It's weird because you don't like come off as a big gambler, but it just comes out in different ways.
Yeah.
You don't gamble with like anything else. Like, you don't gamble with your health. Or-
no. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, like I could go to the pits and chase losses, but there's no part of me that wants to do that.
Yeah. I was going to say like, you're like, there's nowhere to play higher. I'm like, oh yes, there is.
Yeah.
They'll let you play as high as you want, Berg. I promise.
It's not the gambling thing. It's the losing. I'm a sore loser.
Yeah.
Shit.
We know that.
We were all aware of that.
What?
You just bitch and complain. You don't really. You're not really that bad.
No, internally,
lot,
there's.
I've gotten
nightmare.
A lot better, but yeah, the internal
he's
monologue
not, like,
is
so dramatic. wish like he'll be like, oh, I'm down 10K. Like this is the worst day ever.
He and Joanne are
I'm
the
gonna
same.
Become broke. Yeah, they're
Joanne's
the same.
Fucking hilarious.
Where she's like, I'm literally destitute, and she's like, she's minus like, 200 on the month after minus, 2 weeks. Yeah. Like it's like
we are the same because you guys are just unlucky enough to hear our inner monologue. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like we're probably the most two stable humans in the chat.
Yeah,
like we know that we're not poor. We know we're not going anywhere. It's just you know, when you're there in the moment, sitting with a bunch of shit regs that you don't want to be around, you gotta find the silver lining.
Sadly, you don't find the silver lining. That's the opposite. No, the silver lining. You find the shit lining.
The silver lining is your reactions to us bitching.
We're just stop being dramatic because. For a while, I thought that you guys were being serious, and then I realized.
Well, Mama Joe's dead serious. She's dead serious.
No, she's not.
Says, fuck
she's
these
not.
Motherfuckers.
No, she's not.
Oh, that part she's serious about.
She has pictures worth thousands of dollars. Like she's fine.
That day that I was buried,
what a day.
I went to my box, I think, 3 different times. I started the session off with
bad.
I sat with 100K.
Brought, bro. Like it's, I'm like, please, the realtor's going to come back. Like, please stop.
No tiny house. Not like this.
I sat with like 100K and I was stuck like 50. So I go back to my box. I get another 100 and I put it on the table. And Oaken, in his typical Oaken fashion, by the way, he's obviously winning when this happens a lot. He like looks up from his phone and sees that I have like 150 in front of me now. And he like, who'd you stack? I'm just like, not today, buddy. Not fucking today. And he just keeps asking me and needling me. So then of course I lose another huge pot and I just go back to the box and I come in and I sit with like 800K. I'm just like, okay, no more trips to the box.
And he's right, no more trips to the box because you took it all.
There aren't any more trips to be had.
No, yeah. I had foreign chips in there that were worth a fair amount. But
foreign chips?
Like other casinos.
Yeah.
So I'm like sitting with heaps now and he starts asking me how much I'm winning. And I just look at him like, I'm not ever actually mad, but I realize now like when people are being annoying, if you raise your voice, it's acceptable. Because they're pissing you off, or anybody else would be pissed off in your shoes.
It's not normal to raise your voice if no one's being annoying. They're just being normal.
Oh, it's normal for me and Brian.
Yeah,
Brian.
We talk in an octave or two.
But you guys are annoying each other, so that makes sense. True too.
Every time you guys have a conversation,
I'm naturally loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Landon yells at everybody.
Yeah, that's true too. Actually,
he has voice modulation syndrome.
So, SNL skit.
I've been fucking good these days.
You've been better. Yeah. I just sometimes. You get excited.
Lenny used to start having a conversation and just scream at the top of his fucking lungs. It's like,
it's only
dude.
With Matt though. Every time
that's
we get it's only with Matt.
That nah, then she was with everybody when you first.
It's
got
especially
here.
Funny with me because, like, I see it happening before it happens. Especially like growing up around the people I grew up with. Like same thing with LaManna. Like
there's
you just know when you got
before.
His goat. So it's like once you see it happening, you can either match that energy or not. And with like Landon, he telegraphed it so much that the response was always just kind of like a snicker to yourself and a very quiet like, feel better now?
Sometimes.
Yes.
It's the worst
yeah,
way.
I
it's,
do.
It's the worst way of having like shouting at someone called out. You just want them to shout back. Uh-huh. And it's just like, are you done?
Right.
You finished,
then they
you
feel
done?
Like a child.
Yeah, you right. Bald fuck.
Balding. Oh my god, the pickleball days were great.
Yeah, those were really fun.
Yeah.
So like Oaken's needling me, or maybe he doesn't even know he's needling me, and I've just realized like, oh, everybody will excuse me being mad here, even though I'm not mad, so I'm just gonna take my opportunity to like rip into Oaken. And I was just like, Oaken, shut the fuck up. And he goes, what? How much are you winning? Just tell me how much you're winning.
I go, I need him to come in because I need to know if his voice is right. Yeah. That's a ridiculous voice.
Can't confirm I do a good Oaken. I just look at him.
That's really his voice. Like, I'll be really surprised.
I look at him and I go.
And sad.
I go, that's fucking it. You're not leaving with a goddamn penny today. They're going to kick me out of this fucking game for breaking your ass. I got him even by the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows how.
Got me even, got him even. Everything's good in the world. All right. Yesterday we put out a tweet that said, let's see, what poker term do you hate the most and what should we call it instead? I guess I didn't follow the instructions. I only answered the first half of it. Although, considering I dedicated like an entire episode of the show to it, I think you guys know that I meant to call it a call. But I replied, float, don't at me.
Reverse float.
Float, reverse float, don't care.
Do you like peel?
Peel's fine. Peel's fine because
like peel
doesn't imply anything, right? Peel's just an a synonym for call, right? Yeah.
Just like I wanted to see another card,
like
right?
Peel or floats
like I'm calling to bluff later.
Yeah, people have attributed this definition of like floating meaning something more, like as if when I call, I don't ever have any intention
like
of bluffing.
Disrespectful, like
yeah,
no
yeah,
equity.
Just
but
like
when really it has like plenty of equity.
Of course. So I floated the flop. It's like with what? An open-ended straight flush draw. It's like, yeah. No, you fucking call.
Yeah, you called because it's bad to fold.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Find me a goddamn hand that you quote unquote floated with.
Yeah.
That would just be a pure fold.
Let's float the 6-4-0 on King Jack Ace. You
yeah.
Know?
Now that's floating.
That's floating.
That's floating. Floating. And yes. You know what? You're not going to find it in the goddamn wild anymore. No. It just doesn't exist. No. So let's lose the term and just like, let's change it to call. Calling is fine. Yeah. You're allowed to call.
Or
it's
peeling.
Okay. Yeah. Peel. You want to get fancy? Yeah. So peeled. I peeled.
Mm-hmm. I
peeled one.
Took one
like
off.
That. Took one off. Oh, yeah. That implies checking it.
I took
that
a day
yeah,
off,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, taking one off.
Yeah. Charlie Carroll says, railing your friends is wild to non-poker listeners.
Yeah, that one's pretty crazy. That's
a little wild. What can we change that to? I don't even
sweating?
Know.
Sweating?
Sweating
your friends.
It's still a little gross.
Yeah, you get sweaty when you're after you're done railing.
Supporting your friends.
Support, oh, yeah, right. Caring and loving for your friends.
That's the ickiest one of them all.
R.I.P. to Charlie's hair. He cut it all off.
He did.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, not all of it, but a lot of it.
Well, Jesus of Methlehem is clean.
Is he going to be selling it?
He's been baptized.
Oh, sure.
You should sell it. Do an auction.
Let's see.
No? No one wants it?
I don't think anyone wants it. It wasn't long enough anyway. Michael Guy says, boat over boat should be called a yacht. You got a boat, I got a yacht. Chris D says, I get a little nauseous every time I hear someone say luck box. I know it's not an official term, but God, is it cringe. Also, sun run.
I like the...
Yeah. They're a little color.
Honestly, like when you say, like you're such a box, like it's just really good.
You love the shortened words to like the root.
Because like luck box is a lot.
Yeah, I'm
sometimes.
Going to rail my box.
Three times.
Like
no more chips left.
Like it was one thing to go from changing under the gun to under the gun eight.
Or to gun
but
eight.
Now it's
actually,
gun eight.
It actually
yeah,
gun
eight.
Cause, no, cause,
what's
like,
next?
Because like under the gun is such a dumb term.
I agree.
Honestly, it is a dumb. That's mine. Under the gun. Get out. What? No.
Under the gun.
Under the gun is fine. Every position right. thereafter that doesn't have a name became annoying and look.
Like for MP, what it's worth, like MP, EP.
Yeah,
it's
those
all
don't mean anything.
Nonsense.
No, see, here's the thing. Anything. Here's the thing. Our generation, the one that came before you, we did the exact same thing. But what we did was we took all these longer forms of phrases and stuff and shorten them. And then they were perfectly fine. And you took that and was like, that's not short enough. Gotta make it even shorter.
But well, now right? he made it longer. Like UTG is shorter than gun eight.
Yeah. Gun eight.
But like,
no, UTG
but
is.
But UTD doesn't.
It doesn't
say
UTG
how many
is not shorter than gun eight.
It doesn't right. signify anything.
Right. I agree. Look, I agree with you. I think the system of under the gun eight for an eight handed table
worth.
Is much better. Like, but I think gun eight. Makes me think of you doing finger guns.
Right.
Eight times.
Right. And the next generation, pew, pew, the next pew, generation pew, is going to be like, G-uh. That's what
yeah.
it's going to be. sorry. G-uh. And
but like, well, you guys always played nine-handed. That was kind of the idea.
No, we play a lot of 10. A lot of 10-handed.
So you even had a terrible system back then. It was.
Do you think we adjusted ranges, whether it was
Are you talking? What system?
They were playing a cutoff open from every position anyway.
I still do. Who needs to change? Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, we had under the gun one, and then the button.
Right.
Everything in between was middle position.
No, we had cutoff.
Yeah.
We eventually, okay with that. We had cutoff, and then it was like
we eventually developed cutoff,
right, and then it was like hijack. We're like, what the hell is this hijack? Like,
I kind of like hijack.
Then someone said lowjack. We're like, you're getting out of control. This shit. Lojack?
No, I agree, though.
What the fuck is a lojack?
This is under the gun plus four.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Like, I don't know where hijack and lojack.
Hijack is hijacking the cutoff.
I like hijack for that reason. Yeah. Because it's like, I'm going to take your spot.
Exactly. Yeah. The whole thing was stealing the button back in the day. You opened to steal the button.
Cutting off the button's opportunity. Right. Exactly. Hijacking the cutoff's opportunity.
Lojack is out. Lojack's fucking out.
Just some weirdo that he's just like, I don't know. He's kind of here.
This is lazy.
Yeah. They got games on your phone.
Yeah, he's like, you guys got games on your phone? He's kind of just like,
he's there. So if he plays a hand, you got to be scared.
And here's the thing, even though we only had under the gun one and button to begin with, they were the same range. You want to know why, Landon? Because under the gun is the new button.
That's right.
You want to steal? You steal with eight other people left to act, you pussy.
Yeah.
That shit looks strong.
It worked too.
I'm okay with this, like, under the gun plus one MP button.
Yeah.
You know, but let's keep hijack. I like him.
Well, hijack stays, yeah. Hijack, lowjack stays. The only issue is, like, what about under the gun 7 and under the gun 8?
I have an easy solution for that.
EP, MP.
I have an easy solution.
UTG plus one, UTG.
You just play lowjack from all of those
positions. Yeah, under the gun plus two. Yeah, it's third act.
I still have a solution.
What?
Play six-handed.
Yeah.
There you go. Then
it just starts with lowjack, yeah.
It's great.
No, fuck lowjack. He's now under the gun.
Right.
No.
But they call it lowjack.
Lowjack isn't a thing. Lowjack is just a depressed jack.
He's here. He's here.
He's feeling low because look at all these people that are ahead of him. Right. He's feeling low.
Okay. Can't play very many hands.
Yeah. All right. I'm still on float being the one to remove, but these positions are also very, very close behind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm noticing that people are very pedantic when they say flat instead of call. It's like, what? It's fine.
It's fine.
Take out smooth call.
Smooth call? What is a smooth call?
Exactly.
Smooth call is clearly you have a little bit of flair.
No.
That's what people think about float.
No. Float
smooth is, call is the same as float.
Float has like some intention behind it, like you're gonna bluff.
So does smooth call.
No,
really playing it smooth.
Exactly.
Smooth call is like when you have like a good hand and you're slow playing.
You're trying.
It's like the opposite of float, right? It's kind of the opposite, right?
I'm gonna hit him with the double smooth.
Or it's just every single call.
I flop the set, right, and he leads right out, and I smooth call.
Right. Exactly.
Also, you know what actually bothers me? Like when someone is the aggressor and then they say, this person leads. And it's like, but like that's his, like he's just c-betting.
Yeah. No, that tilts me.
That's really so annoying.
It's like, no, you bet. You fucking bet.
Yeah. You just c-bet. It's not a lead.
It's not an assy lead.
He comes with a lead. Like, no, he didn't. So.
Fucking bet. It's his turn. It's his goddamn turn.
Exactly. It's his turn. So he didn't lead.
We were around. Berkey and I were around. Before C bet. But we called it continuation bet. It was just continuation bet. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then someone was like C bet. I'm like, oh, you have to say C bet. Like you're so cool. Like just say continuation bet. Right. It's crazy.
This was the maturation process of going from Super System to fucking Daniel Negreanu's book.
Yeah.
All the cool young kids are calling it a C-bet now. Yeah. Real kid poker out there C-betting these streets.
Yeah, the classic C-bet joke was that you C-bet to see where you're at.
C-bet. Yeah,
see
right.
What you did there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
It should never happen again.
Donk bet, because the term, which is short for donkey bet, implies the bet is stupid and made by only weak players. It's not always a stupid play to donk bet. It can be strategic when correctly applied.
Thank you.
Right, but when people would do it, when the term was coined, was they were doing, but they were usually donkey.
Actually.
Yeah,
it's actually a donk bet.
I think that one can stay. It's nostalgic.
I kind of like donk bet too because people think it's bad.
That's true too.
And then when it's good, it's still nice.
They just say it when they don't like the person. It doesn't matter if it's actually a donk bet.
Yeah. So this donkey bets.
So he donk bets.
Right. I can get on board with this one. The term runners. There are very few. There are very few tournament poker players who are in shape enough to walk fast.
Gotta be. People don't really use it anymore, right? They just use entries.
I don't know. I hear runners a lot.
Do you?
Yeah. Entries is a little bit Well, maybe they're both a little bit misleading. Because runners to me implies unique entries, where entries implies ambiguity.
Well, there's entries and unique entries then?
I guess in re-entry.
Yeah.
Well, we were having this debate on Twitter yesterday, and I never got an answer. I don't understand. So Savage kind of brought it up when he was here, and I didn't press him on it, though I should have, because I have a stronger opinion about it than I think I realized I do. But I don't understand the notion of, like, in a re-entry event, a greater percentage of people are making the money.
Because
people represent X times a certain number of entries.
Like, some people might be in for five.
Why debate this?
Because it's commonly discussed when creating payout structures. Okay. Like people are saying in re-entry events, you should pay a smaller percentage of the field.
Because the people are having more chances, or
right. So say there's 1,000 entries in an event, but only 500 unique players. So everybody's in on average for 2.
Treat everyone as its own.
That's how I feel, right? So like. What Savage's argument would be is that if it's 1,000 entries but only 500 unique, then technically 15% of the field would be 75 players.
Every entry is a new tournament. That's what they say.
That's the way I feel. I don't.
You must treat all your re-entries as a new tournament.
Well, especially the only argument I could see for his side would be if you wanted the bottom to be really large. That's, so say you wanted like a 3 or 4x cash number. So you know, now you pay 10% of the field and just min cashing is maybe worth like 3 buy-ins.
This mistakenly happens on WSOP.com.
Min caches are pretty nice.
The rebuying add-on min caches are
like 5x.
Well, they're like almost 2.5 to 3x the original buy-in.
But you add on and so it is kind of like
maxing on that site's sick.
Yeah. Right.
Max, rebuy, add on in for 2.
They got. Do you
rebuy? I thought you weren't supposed to rebuy.
You have to make it to the add on. If you don't make it to the add on, you are lighting on fire.
Brian's right. You don't rebuy.
If you max, it's always single. Buy in and then add on.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. You don't buy in, rebuy, and add on.
Landon's saying rebuy, he means re-enter.
Like if you're playing from the start, you have to get to the add on.
He's just saying to continually re-enter.
Right.
But like if you're in for
you guys are talking past each other. Right. You don't need to keep explaining. Brian's saying don't ever pay for the double stack.
Yeah, the double
you
rebuy.
Do not pay for the double stack.
Right. Correct. Right. That's what rebuy means, Landon.
Yes.
I don't know these stupid fucking words.
I
there's a difference between re-entry and rebuy.
Okay. Correct.
I mean,
Landon wasn't around when rebuys were a thing.
You lost me.
Oh, we lost him.
That circuit broke. Okay. They're all the fucking same. If you play those stupid rebuy and add-ons, max late reg and then add on. You buy in once and you add on.
You can't add on in a re-entry. You can only add on in a rebuy.
he's correct.
That's true.
No, he's very much correct.
That's the difference of
these
it.
Terms are so toxic.
You know what? Why don't you go C-bet yourself?
Landon, words have meanings, okay?
Landon, can I show you where we learn flat calling?
Is it Gavin Smith?
It is.
Yes.
R.I.P. to the legend.
Oh, Black Velvet.
Him being sponsored by Black Velvet is just incredible.
The next tip I want to tell you about is what I consider to be my strongest weapon in No Limit Texas Hold'em. It's called the flat call. I like to play a lot of pots, and then I like to put a lot of money in after the flop when I make some hands.
Sure. Yeah, bingo.
So I basically will flat call with just about anything. So my boy raises pre-flop.
What the fuck?
I'm going to call
That's
him with
sick.
All my garbage hands plus all my huge hands.
Right.
How are we
and
not
it's gonna be the same
these?
Regardless, and they can decide whether or not
he understood balance way back in 2008.
So the pot gets raised up. I look down. I see 2 kings. I flat call. That gives me protection. For the next time when my boy raises up pre-flop, I look down. I've got the 6-4 offsuit.
Right,
flat
the hoopty.
I want to call then too.
Yeah.
I'll flat call.
Fuck
that
yeah.
That was always the opponent guessing 100% whether this is the time flat call. With the big hand or this is the time he's just trying to hit a flop to snap somebody off.
Oh, that is incredible.
That was state of the art.
Not gonna lie.
By the way,
incredible.
By the way, that's the training that we grew up on.
Yes.
Okay.
That was
we were coming up. That's I the look, fucking
my
poker
boy
training.
Raises it up. I look down and see kings. Black call.
I mean, he's not wrong in PKOs.
Oh, shut the fuck
up. Get the fuck out of here right now.
He's not wrong. He's
a PKO. Actually.
Pretty based.
Sven says.
Yeah.
How did we end up with Sven? Give me Becker. God damn it.
You did give yourself bet. Becker. You jammed fucking nine with King 10 suited.
Down bet's not a thing anymore, right?
Down bet, I would like to get rid of.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It was always the stupidest.
Wait, you know what a down bet is?
I've heard it. I think it's just a small bet, right?
So before solvers and everything.
The lore.
Back when we used to just flat call everything, what you would do is you would almost never bet less than what you raised pre-flop. So if you made it 30, you would always make it at least 30. It's just because
we mostly bet half pot on every street.
We usually never bet less than half pot.
It came to him in a dream.
Half pot limit hold'em.
Right. So then people started, solving things and studying. And you were like, oh, wait, you should maybe sometimes bet like a third of the pot or a quarter of the pot. So like people would bet 30 pre and then bet 20 or 15 after. And it was called a down bet.
By the way, I'm pretty sure Christian coined this term, and I've hated it from fucking day one. I hated it for what it meant. I hated it for what it represented.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want anything to do with these small goddamn bets. I'm like, oh, you're going to start betting quarter pot? Well, I'm going to start betting full pot. How about that?
You're both right.
You're like 6x pot.
Yeah, how's that for a goddamn C bet? Yeah. Suck on this. But yes, that one has to die. It just doesn't mean anything. Go on.
Ace-X's.
Ace X's?
Yeah, like when they're commentating and stuff, and they'll say like all of his Ace X's instead of just like Ace
X. I actually don't know if I've ever heard that, but I agree that would tilt the fuck out of me. Yeah.
Texted. Corey's does pointed that to it me.
Out. Texted.
When people say texted, huh? It's text. I texted someone.
I text someone.
Yeah. I heard
no,
people
but texted
say I text.
Is past tense.
I think texted text. Both.
I would say texted.
Right. I would say texted.
I would past tense it.
Yeah.
I don't think I like texted.
Yeah, I don't think I say texted.
It sounds very Shakespearean.
He texted.
He was banished.
No, the text. Yeah, I don't think that's a. I think
I
we're
like
right.
Texted. Yeah. Banished.
Yeah, that's how it's like Shakespearean.
You should go with text instead of texted because it's shorter.
Depending. No, I like texted if I texted someone in the past.
Or
You don't know about iambic pentameter?
I do.
Pentameter?
Yeah.
Like
betwixt and shit.
Betwixt her bosom.
I think what it is that the past of text is text with a D, but...
No.
It's texted.
It's texted.
I don't think you pronounce ED as
T-E-X-T-D?
No, it's still ED, but yeah.
Right.
Think of every past tense verb that you say. You don't say ED, you say D.
Right.
That's why I said it's very Shakespearean. Yeah. It's very iambic pentameter where you pronounce the ED.
You syllabilize it.
But you're just doing it to separate the T from the D because they sound so similar.
Yeah, text.
There's got to be other words that do that.
Yeah, probably. Well, asked.
Ask it.
Ask Conrad.
Ask Ed.
How do you?
No,
Conrad looks so much younger without his beard. By the way,
I agree. In the hair back.
Asked.
Yeah, that was good.
He won a tournament and cleaned up.
It was the opposite. No. He cleaned up, then he won a tournament.
Oh,
yeah. Then he cleaned up.
Look good to feel good, they say.
What's another one? Texted. I would definitely say texted.
Yeah.
Texted's the only one, I think.
Everyone who's under 40 would say it.
I just think it's an overcorrection. I think we're all saying the same thing. I think when
you add the apostrophe and like D or I.
Well, that's
you
how
add apostrophe.
That's how I would say it. Yes.
You add apostrophe N like.
But if you spelled it out, you'd spell it with an ED.
ED, yeah. But I would say it.
You'd say I text.
Text.
I text.
Yeah.
Can we
yesterday
see?
I text him.
No, what you're doing
silly.
Is you're removing
what if you,
the, you're making you, the T silent.
Wait, what if you Googled it and had the pronunciation? What would the pronunciation
oh,
be?
Oh, yeah.
I can do that.
No, Guapo can do it because he's actually hooked up to the audience.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think it's texted.
I think it's texted.
This is what we're going official, right?
$100
We're not going to say Google's wrong?
Yeah. Texted.
$100 on texted.
Ready?
I'm not going to
ready?
Bet.
Let's go.
He's already fucking Googled.
No, I haven't. Oh, hold on. Let me take you guys off here real quick.
It's definitely texted.
Text.
Texted is correct.
Okay, wait, but we need a sound,
Buffo.
Jesus
sound.
Christ, Guapo, you had one
this
job.
This is why I wanted to do it.
he's like, he's over
it. It's like, you guys knew it was spelled that
we
way.
We know how it's spelled.
We need the little lady going, texted.
Oh, man.
I don't know why this reminds me so much of listening to the audio tapes of Romeo and Juliet. I'll never get... They must have said banished... Banished.
Yeah, banished.
At least a dozen times in that.
It's in order to make it make sense. Yeah, otherwise, otherwise it wouldn't follow the rule.
Right.
Shakespeare's a cheater.
Not a cheater.
I mean, emphasizing some syllables to make it work is kind of cheating.
He created his own language, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or his own literature.
So did we with C-Bets and... Isn't that hard to find the audio sound, right?
It's not.
We should just let Landon do it.
Quaffo's in
oh,
the
here
mark.
We go. I heard bloop.
He's finding the one that agrees with him. He's testing them. Quaffo's
over us.
Trust me.
We're just going to keep
so
it on
funny.
This screen.
We got it.
Wait, we have it.
Trust texted. Me. He's happy to find it.
Texted.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't hear it.
Texted.
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 There you go.
Texted.
All right, texted.
Like tested. That's
tested.
One.
I tested. Yeah, you don't say tested.
You don't say I tested.
Oh, that's a good example.
Tested.
Tested.
I tested.
I tested him.
Tested.
Rated.
Tested.
Rated.
Tested him.
You just can't make a T a silent letter.
Yeah, you're
or
right.
Any hard it's, consonant.
It's you're right. It's if it ends in T or D,
mm-hmm.
then the ED comes in.
Mm-hmm. Right, because yeah. it's
rated.
Like
rated. That's a good example.
Grammar.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Look at
we
us.
We learned something
learning.
Today.
Grammar podcast.
That's right.
Yeah. otherwise, you're saying T-E-X-E-D.
Texted.
Like text.
Like sexted.
Like sexted.
You don't say sexed. Yeah.
Well, actually, that's actually a different word.
Yeah.
Sex the chicken or chick.
Oh, S-E-X-E-D.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on.
Please.
That's all we got. This is
the
peak show right now.
Okay. This is peak content, whether you like it or not. Yeah.
People are in their car like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Just enough.
This is peak male performance.
Yeah. You may make it.
All right. Let's get to the end mark.
All right, well, guess who's back in the muck? Maybe I am in the muck, maybe I'm not in the muck. When you see the end of this hand, you're gonna be like, how the hell are you in the muck? Well, what are you talking about? This is not a muck hand. But maybe it is because, you know, there's certain streets, I don't know, maybe sizings are wrong. We're gonna find out. Let's see. So we're at the Win playing 1-3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big boy stage.
Yeah, at
win
the Win.
Boy now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're broadening our horizons. We get the old ace of clubs, jack of hearts, folds us on the button. We make it 10. The big blind, 3 bets to 30. Okay. We're 500 effective. I call, and we get the king, jack flop, 2 clubs, 1 diamond.
I'm scared.
So it's pretty good. Yeah, and all of a sudden, the three better checks. And I'm like,
He checked it.
He checked it. He checked it.
He checked it.
After he checked it, I was like... I was like...
Yeah, see, the rule doesn't always apply here.
Immediately, I'm like, oh, God, I hope he doesn't have fucking kings here.
A Brazilian
like,
did. Remember that
what would
the
they
Brazilian
do with kings that check? Whatever would they do with the rest of the range? I'd probably just bet. But I'm like, well, I still bet, have ace-jack, so I have to build a pot. So I go half pot.
Build one.
30.
Build that
yes.
pot.
He flats.
He smooth calls.
Right. He smooth calls. Turn is a 6 of diamonds, now putting 2 diamonds out there as well as the 2 clubs. He checks again, and I'm like, all right, well, here we go. I'm going to bet again. I was like, not quite 2E. I didn't
no.
get 2E.
So like
I went 2E. I went 2E's
yeah.
like pot, yeah. So I went 80, which is about 66%, 80 into 120. And I was thinking like, well, if the check raise comes in here, I'm going to kind of hate life. But, you know, I still have trip jacks with the ace kicker.
I only have trip jacks.
I still
what else
have,
are you calling with? You
right? So... He goes ahead and bets about half his stack, which is 200, leaving himself 240 behind.
Okay.
And I'm just like, oh, God. And
just
I'm like
the ace
this
on
is
the
just
river.
So dumb. Like, he probably just always has kings and only has kings. But you know what? Berkey's in my ear. Just pay. So
for sure.
I call. And then the river's a jack of spades.
Yeah, there we go. Just spike the river.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I know the sand's easier now.
Yeah.
He goes all in. I obviously call.
Yeah, I have quads. It's got a lot easier now.
You didn't slow roll him?
I didn't. You know, I tried not to. Because it's like when
you tortoise rolled him.
No, so when I'm in a situation like this where I have the absolute nuts and someone just jams on me, I just like literally like call, rip my hand over. But like I was like, I need to know what his hand is because I'm just so sure it was Kane's.
No, you might not,
right?
Like
so like I go call and I'm like, well, this with my hand and like waiting, and as soon as he turns his hand over, I immediately turn mine over like the same time, and I see the two kings that I just won outed.
So you really just wanted to like give the man a slap in the face.
Yeah. That's no, I had really to know. Did. I was so sure he had kings, but I called anyways, and then I was like, I just have to know. And
knowledge
sure
is power.
Enough, knowledge is power. It's the more you know, and I know that I won outed him. Sorry, $1,000 pot.
This happened on ACR once. I remember like I told Landing because I was like, Brazilian checked on like king king x, I'm terrified, and then no, it was like queen queen x, and then he just had quads, but we checked down, like I was like, I'm just gonna check down. Yeah. This is scary. Brazilian will always bet,
right? Yeah. So it's like I guess the mucky part of this hand is obviously it's like sizing, I guess, on the flop and the turn, and should I, if I'm like so scared of king, should I check the turn? It seems ludicrous. But then when the check raise comes in, can I fold? Uh-huh. Like it seems like I should just play the hand the way I did. But like he had exactly what I thought he had, and maybe that's like you know, just like confirmation bias.
I think the only thing I would have done different was just go bigger on turn. Just
yeah, I mean, 2E on turn maybe.
Ace king right. And king queen just calls.
Right, and you're never so jamming making turn. Like I don't know. Should you just jam turn? Is there a case for that?
Yeah, but
it seems like if you jam turn, he can just like find a fold with ace king or
and
something.
And too good. To
right, yeah. Right. So
we want to extract value.
It seems like considering a fold at any point here would be way too much of a deviation.
Right. I think the muck part of this for me is I think the gap between theory and practice in spots like this is so wide.
Right. 100%.
Well, let me finish.
Absolutely right, Bert.
I'm gonna let you finish.
I think the gap between theory and practice here is so wide in the sense that both players should have a lot of three street hands on king jack jack two tone. But in practice, the only three street hands that you'll see are like trips plus. And that becomes problematic, right? So when ace king no longer sees itself as a three street hand, when aces no longer sees itself as a three street hand, when the potential bluffs that exist no longer see themselves as three street bluff candidates, then the practice gets really fucked up. Because now when you attempt to take a line that earns you three streets, what ultimately happens is you force a fold from top of range at some point, either on the second or third street, or you run into it. And that's right. why we find ourselves always in these spots where we're like, I can't just keep paying.
Yeah.
Because right. They always just have it. And it's like, well, they always just have it because you're playing an inflated pot where you're attempting to navigate for three streets in a situation where neither player sees it as a three street game any longer.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The ranges pre-flop also kind of dictate that they're just going to be stronger hands on average.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like when you see strong hand plus strong line, and sometimes the strong line is checking when they normally would range bet if they had dust. Like this guy's ace queen, right. He's just going to see bet. Because mm-hmm. The board's so good for me. But he thinks to himself, I have three kings and two jacks. How can he have anything? Right. I'm going to check.
Right, yeah. But I also think like ace king and aces protect check a lot.
This is what I was curious.
I think flop they pass on C-bet.
I don't know. I agree.
People are terrified of paired
boards.
They're
more scared of trips than like a solver would ever be.
For sure. And that's why I think it becomes problematic for the three street aspect of it, because they are trying to navigate the showdown with one pair of hands
mm-hmm.
that are nuts because they're so terrified of trips.
Yeah.
And so what they'll end up doing is put themselves in a position to fold for the third bet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it in the inverse, it's like, well, you know this to be true to some degree too. So like, say you have queen 10 of diamonds here. How often do you just rifle it off? In theory, sure. But in practice, most people will look at queen 10 of diamonds on that board and be so happy that they saw a check that they snap check back.
Right, let me make a
on the turn.
Let me make
on
a straight. On the flop. Yeah. Yeah, let me turn a straight. Yeah. Let me turn a pair, maybe beat like pocket eights or something.
I might turn a straight and not be good.
The check is scary from them.
That's
so.
You're kind of doubling down on my point, right? It's like we already recognize that the range of hands that are willing to check on King Jack Jack don't really include nothing. Yeah. Right?
It's never nothing.
It's almost never nothing. There's no 9-10 suited in there. There's no ace 10. There's no ace queen. Like the hands that he was quote unquote bluffing with pre, if they even fucking exist, just bet. Mm-hmm. And then the hands that start checking are like queens.
Yeah.
And aces. What's and
also
ace king.
It's kind of interesting is like if that's true, if that's what you think that they're going to take ace king and aces and play them that way.
Sometimes, not all the
right,
time.
Right. But what happens is the check raise never comes in on the flop.
Correct.
Like no matter if cuz they're either checking cuz they're scared or they're checking cuz they're nutted.
Exactly.
And when they're nutted, they should check raise the flop at some frequency, but they never do. They always just wait for that turn. I'm going to get the bigger bet on the turn and then I'm going to check raise and get
and
it.
And that's
in.
Why you know it's kings on the turn.
Right.
Because queens, aces and ace king still play passive.
Right, exactly. Right. Like once they chose the check, right, so that's why I was like, I can't rate. Like, oh man, it was just
personally, and like, you know, I would get myself in trouble with this because I would take the quote unquote I under rep my hand route, but I would range check flop.
I was wondering that if we could,
I would just like range check back on flop and then try to play a two street game where I potentially can be all in by river. And understand like what portions of his range I'm targeting because now when he double checks, he has queens almost always.
The issue is it's hard to get the money in when you're 200 effective,
right?
In two streets,
you're less than two.
Less than two. I mean,
it was like 8 SPR.
They were playing 175 ish. Sure, yeah. I mean, it's still tough, right? You have to go like 150 turn, 150 river, or something like that. But then you have to face a check.
That's if it checks to you twice. And if it's only going to check to you twice when they have queens.
Yeah, but right,
now why would you go for a two street game if they're never going to pay anything worse?
What do you mean? You let them bet into you now with ace, king, and aces.
Now you
call.
Raise the turn?
No, you just like call, and then you jam over a river bet, or you just jam when checked to. Right? Like, we just play a two-street game where our whole range benefits.
Yeah, but if you check the flop, and then they bet half on the turn, now you're like 2.5x shoving river.
Well, you're at 4 SPR on the river.
Unless they bet, you jam over.
Right, and if they don't bet, if they do bet turn and then check river, then it's just like, okay, you're at 4 SPR, go for pot.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, yeah, you failed to get it all in, but you're probably going to fail to get it all in anyway. And
against something that's
worse.
Not worse, yeah.
Right. And
right.
I mean, that's the thing. It's just like we're talking about very narrow ranges that are bounded.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
When they don't have the bottom, what else can we do?
Yeah.
They don't really.
As played, like, I mean, like, I don't, it I'm seems serious. Egregious to fold the turn, but I don't know if it is.
It's not egregious because somebody's giving you perfect information.
That's what I mean. It feels
it's just
like
expensive.
Right.
It's an expensive fold to make. Like it's expensive to have invested
like if,
that much
like you
to
said, like if
get
you're
the
gonna,
perfect info.
If you're gonna bet fold the turn, then just check.
Yeah, but that's not the thing because the check raise only comes through when he has kings.
Right.
Right, so it's like the likelihood of you getting check raised isn't
bet,
that
bet
great.
Bet to find out where you're at.
And to be fair, I disagree with the like in theory. Yes, we would go bigger on the turn, but again, that's thinking back to the version of it being a three street game.
Right.
The actuality is when we're betting, we're trying to target aces, ace king, and queens, and we know that any bet is going to make queens uncomfortable. And the larger the bet scales, the more often people are going to be willing to just make exploitative folds
that's
with
what
ace,
I
king,
thought.
And aces.
In game, that's what I thought. I was like, I thought about 2E. I was like, I could go bigger here, but then I was just like, it just seems like I'm just going to push them off the hands that I'm targeting.
Right. Yeah, I mean, just in general on this board, regardless of like touching their ranges or not, they have a range bet, right? So when they check, it's terrifying. Like this is the theory range, right? This is never going to happen at 1-3 at the win. Like 10-6 suited, 25%, fuck out of here.
Right.
Queen 6 suited, get out of here. King 9 off, 10%, no shot, right? 6-4 suited, no shot.
Man, like, it's so nice to see that I play ranges. I don't study this spot very closely. Because I don't think it adds a lot of win rate to me when I'm playing 1,000
big
blinds deep
or whatever.
Yeah.
This spot
I just
also
have like a pretty intuitive understanding of like what a polar range looks like, and it's crazy to see how closely I nail it.
This is also a formation that almost never happens at low stakes. It never just folds to the button. Like very rarely. Like
that's interesting.
People are limping in, or somebody's raising, or it's very rare.
How much limping did you see at the win 2-5?
A lot.
Two five. You mean back in the day?
Oh, sorry. You're playing 1-3.
Playing 1-3. Yeah.
My bad.
I haven't played 500 cap.
Right. Yeah. Sorry.
Was there a fair amount? Less than at the Jewel.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. That's my point.
Right. Less than at the Jewel, but it's still you still see it.
So, anyways, like this is the theory range, right? I just gave practice range of like top left. Like this seems reasonable. Yeah. You know, if the, like just tens plus ace queen off, sure, ace 10 suited.
That's still too. I think that's still too wide, but sure.
Yeah. Who fucking knows? I don't know. Like they have a range bet. Most like it's basically it's a range bet. So then he checks. It's like fuck. Like scary.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what to do here. It's broken already. But we see that the size for us is pot, and instead of half pot, because of what we're talking about, like very low betting volume from us. Because we're saying that we have a jack.
When you do bet, it's big.
Right. And you want to use like ace, deuce of clubs for flush draws. You want to use your flush draws. You want to use your backdoor flush draws to bet. You want to use your low pairs that don't really have much showdown value. And like you can maybe like spike a boat and win later. And then ace, jack, ace of clubs, like you can check back if you want to like protect the jack X range. So like just because you have three jacks doesn't mean you always have to bet. Mm-hmm. And then even if we have a full house, sometimes we can like call it play a two street game and check back as well to protect all of these other middling hands that we have that we check back.
Wait, so you're saying I should bet pot on flop?
Is mm-hmm.
that, yeah.
Yeah, so pot, because you're not betting very often. Like, right. Your betting volume here is so low.
Right.
Such a good board for them.
Yeah.
And that when we do decide to bet, we're saying we have a jack or right. we don't, right? Yeah. And we use our lowest pairs. And
this is the theory tab.
Yeah, this is the theory tab. Mm-hmm. Right here, they have a range bet 100%. He decided to check. So, like, the game is broken, right? Yeah, this is not real.
It does demonstrate something that I think is very important.
It's what actually really happens.
I think this demonstrates something very important, which is that we could very easily simplify to a range check. Like, we're already checking 96% or 94% of our range, and we're only sporadically betting like some jack X and nothing.
Can check,
At a relatively high frequency, right? Yeah, so if we want to reduce this to a two street game, I think just like playing pure check back ends up being pretty good, and then we just get to kind of freestyle it on turns and rivers to carve out as much value as we can, targeting a very specific portion of his range. I think this is like the thing that maybe this is the aspect of live poker that people forget about now that there's been this war waged between solver players and field players, is that there is this custom arena that exists where you can recognize that solver principles will still apply, but the ranges are not theoretical.
Yeah.
So you are now just tasked with freestyling custom sizes that will take the most advantage of the portion of your opponent's range that you think they're most dense to, right? And that's the situation that we have here. It's like we understand that the density of his range is going to consist of queens, kings, aces, and ace king. Well, we're fucked versus kings, but versus aces, ace king, and queens, we can set a price over two streets that will earn us, you know, 80% pot share or whatever by the end. Maybe that's the wrong way of framing it, but like, you know, if we're at 8 SPR, the point is like we can get in maybe half of those stacks by the end if we custom size appropriately, rather than looking at it from the theory standpoint and say like, oh, okay, well, I have trip jacks. I need to be all in by the river. So I'm going to take a 3E strat or I'm going to take a 2E strat here and just like force him to bluff catch me appropriately. And then I'm going to find bluffs. It's like, well, that just fails. Like if you want to do that with your bluffs, great, do it. You'll torch it versus kings, but you're going to get him to fold ace, king, and aces a fair amount. And that's fine. That's reasonable.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful because you're the button and you're raise calling with a lot of fucking hands. So you need that. You need to be under some control here. You can't just rifle it off with twos through sixes plus all of your broadways plus some of your ace highs and your nut flush draws and your back. You know what I mean? Like if you're just rifling it off with everything and then we're finding ways to like check back a jack, we're not exactly approaching this the correct way.
Right. Yeah. And like, I do think there's a case to say like, okay, if they check, I'm going to call it bet small flop if you want, bet turn, and then when you get check call, give up river, just pure, right? Just like never bluff, and then jack X, you can still maybe go for some value. But then again, like it's just.
I mean, if you get check called twice, like it's much less likely they have kings.
I think they find a raise somewhere?
They did. I think they take the line that they took quite frequently because when you bet twice, you have a jack.
It's so odd.
Like they view the
right, just value versus value. Exactly. Like they have three jacks. I have three kings.
They
I
view
beat them
it the
now.
Exact same way you do. They want to get all the money in by the end, and now they've taken this line even where you've demonstrated you have a jack.
Right. They don't want a flush card to come in and make a jack check back or something like that, even though they never have a flush in their life because they would always see bet the flop.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So whatever. In theory, it's supposed to be pot. If we do decide to bet, like they call, like they can have some kings sometimes. Whatever. Turn is six of diamonds. It's very hard.
There's,
like,
there's no point in, run, like, in
they broke,
running.
They broke the game. Like, this machine. I just decided to give some strat where like ace jack and mostly bet a lot, or the flush can come, and that's scary. Ace 10, they want to take it down, right? Tens, they probably check. If they check kings, they're checking quads, right?
Right.
True.
And then queens, maybe they bet sometimes. Maybe not.
I don't think they
probably would. Not.
Probably not. I don't.
You never know. Sometimes they, you got to bet to find out where you're
there
at.
There isn't really any purpose in doing this.
Yeah,
like, it was
really...
fine when you ran it in theory. We were able to...
Well, this is the theory one over here.
Right. I'm saying we're able to extract enough away from that from like what,
yeah,
what we want to do with different fragments of our range. And you can see that everything's just built around Jack X wanting to be all in and then finding some hands that, you know, have some amount of equity to nuts or relatively nutted hands to
they
bluff with.
Raise and like, this is what happens, right? They have a range bet and they didn't. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, Brian's takeaway from this spot is worth a lot. Like, when I say just pay, it's because, again, I reiterate this every time it comes up, but every time that I'm saying just pay, it's because you could have made a different decision somewhere else. And now I don't think it's appropriate to correct for a previous decision by folding our best hands.
Right.
Right. So it's like when you have trip jacks here and you finally have gotten perfect information that he has kings, it's like, yeah, man, you're right. You can fold here. Right. But like if you make a habit of it, then what happens is the previous bets that you make are making far less money than they should be in theory. And now you're getting absolutely torched every time somebody like tells you what their hand is, because it's not going to always be this cut and dry.
Right. No, right? For sure.
Like, it's clear that it's only kings or nothing.
Yeah.
Right. But there's going to be a situation where like you have pocket kings here and get check raised on the turn.
Then they have jacks.
You see what I mean?
God damn it, I got a full king's full because he's got quad jacks.
I think this is like the danger because like he probably does only have quad jacks if you have pocket fucking kings. Right? Like what else is it?
But king jack suited.
But the thing is like, you know, at some point you cross a line where it's like, well, I'm just going to die with his hand. Like I have to.
Yeah.
And it's more predicated on the approach that we're taking to the spot. Our thought process on the flop was I want to have all the money in by the river. And that's fine. But the second that you commit to that, you've committed to the fact that I don't care if he has king's full sometimes. Which also implies that he has enough other hands through any line work that he takes that we're still making money with ace jack.
Right.
Whereas now when we get check raised on the turn, we're basically saying to ourselves, oh, he only has pocket kings, so he doesn't have any other hands to this line work. And now I'm getting fucked by having literally the absolute top of my range.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, also it was just like, okay, like he just has kings here. But like if he ever just doesn't,
because right.
I don't know. I mean, the guy wasn't at the table that long. Like yeah. He hadn't played very many hands, but like he was only there for probably like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the weird thing.
And so like if he just ever shows up with anything else and I find the fold there, it's just like, set it all on fire.
It's kind of funny because like, imagine in the world, like I've seen hands that I never thought would ever exist in any node multiple times in different spots where like you end up not folding, but like you pay, see queen 10 with like a flush draw or something. Then he just like went for it. This hand probably didn't even get talked about, right? It's like, oh, I thought he had king's full, but then you just had queen 10 suited somehow. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, sometimes you're just allowed to get stacked with your good hand.
Yeah, it's just like you said, you can't, you know, lose the minimum and win the maximum at the same time.
Right.
Right. It's kind of a situation. Like
right.
That.
But I do think that there's a lot to take away from this. Like, I would very much consider a different flop strategy.
Yeah. Right.
Just in general, right? It's like ace jack feels like it's so easy to play and you can't make that many mistakes. But actually, if we kind of compare it to the rest of range, maybe we're not doing so hot.
Right. Like, so, like, it's kind of funny because, like, I, you know, he checks, like, always when it's like a range bet in a formation like that. And then, you know, then the check comes through, like, you know, obviously like alarm bells are going off. And but I thought like, oh, like, you know, kings is just like, might be kings, he just checked, he should be just betting. And then it's like, but I also thought like, well, but my hand's so strong, I need to build a pot.
Yeah,
right. So like that was my thought process. But like, you know, maybe when he's so concentrated to just these couple of hands that, you know, you know, you maybe you don't need to build a pot. Right.
Well, also
this
you're
moment.
In position, like the pot can just get built later.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like there's two more opportunities for different people to put money in the pot aggressively.
Yeah.
Make quads.
Yeah, making quads obviously makes it very easy.
Just,
fuck this guy.
I just find the one outer.
Fuck this guy.
Send him home.
If you guys would like to submit your own In the Muck, be sure to head to our Discord. You can hit hashtag Discord in the chat, or you can go to at SolveForYTV on Twitter. It's our pinned comment. Also, if you guys are interested in your own wizard AI to run some of these spots, be sure to hit hashtag wizard and click the link, or it's in the description below. Shout out to GTO Wizard. Appreciate you guys as always for sponsoring the In the Muck segment. And Pip is getting a little.
Going crazy.
She's getting a little antsy.
Mm-hmm. Pippa, she's a good girl.
That hand just gave me PTSD to when I played a WSOP event and someone like that never three bets, like older guy, three bets, small blind button, and then checks on King XX. I'm like, this guy is king. I turn a straight, and then the board pairs, and then he checks, and I'm like, this guy says a fucking house. And SPR is 0.5. I'm like, I'm all in. Call Kings. I'm like, all right, I'm out the fucking door.
Yeah, that's on you, man.
Yeah. 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 Call he is. I just have to fucking check. Like every time you see, every time you see Ace XX, you see King XX, you see Ace Ace 10 or whatever, and they check. Just muck your hand.
Yeah. Just throw it away.
You got it, man.
You were winning on the turn.
I know. I should just jam the turn.
Yep. You had a chance to get away.
No, you shouldn't jam the turn. He's going to call. You got to wait to see if the board pairs.
Exactly.
When it's the board pairs, then you could just, you know.
Tortoise knows all the tricks.
Yeah. When the board doesn't pair, then you get it all.
Okay, Pip. It's time for your walk. Say goodbye to the good people, Pippers. Oh. Hey, thanks for joining us. We'll be back at noon tomorrow with Matt Hunt for Strat Chat.
That's right.
See you guys all then.
Later, squad.
Peace.
Bye.